Thank you, Rabbi Winston. First, I have to make one correction to the title, but it's probably my fault. It's actually Psalms 107. In Parshas Bereishis, it would appear that Adam HaRishon's biggest chait might have been not that he ate from the Eitz Hadas, but rather, as Rashi comments on, when God asks Adam, why did you do it? He says, Ha'isha asher nosata imadi, hinas nalimar Eitz Ochel. Rashi just says, Kan kofar bitova, that Adam showed himself to be an ingrate. And Arba Tzrichim Lahodos, the idea of Thanksgiving, in fact, is a central value of Torah, which Adam undermined and contravened in his response to God. Many of us are aware of the fact that there's a mitzvah, there's an obligation to make Birchas HaGomel under certain circumstances of danger. And some might be familiar. There's an acronym. There are different interpretations of the acronym of Chayim, the four people who have to give thanks. The Torah quotes, Ches stands for someone who is Chavosh, who was imprisoned and has been released. Yud stands for either, I think, Yisurim, someone who's been sick and has gotten better. Yam, someone who's traveled over the ocean. And Mem stands for Midbar. So there is a tradition of Arba Tzrichim Lahodas. What I wanted to look at this morning, for at least a piece of the time, is to look at the sources, but starting actually with the Mizmor and Tehillim. There's something different about seeing it, I think, in the original than just reading the summary version. And this is a somewhat unusual Mizmor. A Mizmor Kuf Zayin, it shares one particular odd distinction, although you won't see it on the source sheet, because for some reason Bar Ilan has did not bother to insert it into their text. There are only two places in Tanakh where there are upside-down nuns, for whatever that means. Many of you are familiar with the famous one, is the passage in Parshas Baloscha, by Yehi ben Saharon, is surrounded by the upside-down nuns. The only other place in Tanakh where you have them, I think you have seven of them, are actually supposed to be in this Mizmor. I don't remember which section it's in. It might be about the person who was sick, but after each of these verses are on the side, you have these upside-down nuns as well. Don't know what the significance is, but nonetheless, certainly an odd piece of trivia. Mizmor Kuf Zayin begins with a brief introduction of encouraging someone, either us or perhaps the four individuals or the four experiences that are described in the Mizmor are asked to give thanks to God or encouraged to give thanks to God. And this very, very brief introduction, God has gathered people in from east, west, and north, and strangely enough, Miyam, south is somehow missing here. And then we begin with four sections, which each of them describe a scenario in which someone has been in tzara, someone has been in a position of difficulty. And then the same verse is almost verbatim, with very minor differences repeated. I put them in italics on the source sheet. The first verse is Vayitzaku Halasham Batzar Lohem. Two of the verses have Vayizaku with a Zion. The two words mean the same thing. And Mimitsuko Sehem, from their straits, either yatzileim, yoshiim, or yotzieim. Differences in the verbs, whatever the exact meaning might be. And so each of these has the same structure. In between, after that verse, when the individual who finds him or herself in the difficult situation cries out to God, then the next verse is how God saves them. And if you take a look at we'll look at each of the individual ones. But if you look at the first one, the first block, for example, Pasuk Zayin, the people who are lost in the desert, Vayadrichem b'derech yishara l'aleches ir moshav, God helps them find their way into civilization. And then the same verse appears four times in each of the occurrences, Yodu l'Hashem chasto v'niflo sav l'fnei adam. So both they are obligated to give thanks to God, which would make sense in its own right. But then more importantly, v'niflo sav l'fnei adam. One is obligated not just to give thanks to God, but to publicize God's kindness to other people as well. So, they should give thanks to God. Each one is followed by the reason, key, because God did such and such for them, and that's why they should thank him. So if you look at the first one, and these are, I presented to you the acronym Chayim, which is not in the order of these. And interestingly enough, when the Gemara presents Arba Tzrichim Lahodos, the Gemara in the ninth parak in Brachos, which is on the source sheet, it doesn't present them in the order of scripture. Tosos and Brachos suggest that the Gemara is presenting them in the order of commonality, although I don't know if he says why scripture presents it in a different fashion. So the first one begins with Pasuk Dalet, Ta'uva Midbar Bishimeon, Derech, their Ta'u goes with Derech, they have strayed on the way in the desert, in the desolate places, Irmo Shavlo Matzo, they couldn't find a civilization, Re'evim Gam Tzmeim Nafsham Bahim Tisatat, they're hungry, they're thirsty, they are enveloped in hunger and thirst. And then Pasuk Vav is Vayitzaku Al Hashem Batzar Lehem Mimitzuko Seim Yatzilem, they cry out to God, in when it was difficult, when it was narrow for them, literally, and he saves them from their straits. He guides them on the straight path to return. They couldn't find an Ir Moshav. God guides them to the Ir Moshav. And then Yodu L'Hashem Chasto V'Niflo Sablo Ne'adam. They give thanks to God. They speak of his wonders to people. Ki Hispia Nefesh Shokeka V'Nefesh Re'eva Milei Tov. The word Nefesh probably actually, you're probably going to read it as soul, but the word nefesh in Tanakh actually, and in the first one as well, the word nefesh actually often refers to the throat. It means the people who are hungry and thirsty. Literally, it has really a double meaning. We would say they're both their appetite. They were thirsty. They were starving, and it also refers to their soul as well. So this the first one are holchei midbar, people who travel through the desert. The second one, yoshvei choshech v'tzamaves asirei oni uvarzel. Those who dwell, those who sit in the darkness, and they are asirim, they are imprisoned in both in poverty, but ubarzel and irons, meaning they're chained, they're in jail. Now, interestingly enough, here, the mezamer, the meshorer, provides us, in a sense, with the reason why, ki himru imrei el vatsas el yona atzu. It's because they actually have rebelled against God. And one of the observations that Ibn Ezra makes along the way, and I think it's kind of obvious, of the four people that the Meshorer describes as being in danger, two of them have put themselves in danger. You can't speak about being lost in the desert or being lost at sea or not in the dangerous situation in itself is not the product of sin. It's the product of choice that the person has made. But the person who's been thrown in prison, I know you could presumably commit a crime. There are ways to get yourself thrown in prison relatively easily. But generally speaking, once upon a time, who got thrown into prison, who didn't, it was perceived as because of sin. And similarly, and certainly in the case of illness, which will be in the next section. So these people are in prison because they've rebelled against the words of God, and they have rejected the counsel of the Almighty. Vayachna be'amol libam kashlu ve'inozer. God has humbled them. They have stumbled and there's no one to assist them. So now, in verse 13, the familiar refrain, "Vayizaku al Hashem batzar lahem, mimitzuko sehem yoshien." And what does God do in response? In verse 14, "Yotzei mechoshech v'tzamaves u'mosor sehem yinatek." He takes them out of the darkness. They were yoshvei choshech v'tzamaves. Now yotzei mechoshech v'tzamaves, and they were imprisoned in irons. Mosor sehem yinatek. He breaks off. He basically casts off the things that bind them. In response, in verse 15, Yodu L'Hashem Chasto V'Niflo Sabbath Ne'adam. Why? Ki Shibar Dasos Nechoshes Uvrichei Barzel Gidea. God has broken open the doors of brass and the bolts of iron he has uprooted. So that's number two. So this is Yotzei Mibeis HaAsurim, as Chazal described it. The third case. Evilim Miderech Pisham U'Me'avon Oseim Yis'anu. So once again, the Meshorer attributes these circumstances to sin. They are fools because of the ways of their sins, and they have been afflicted because of the sins. So kol ochel tisa'ed nafsham, they despise food. Vayagiu ad sharei mavet. They have no appetite to eat. They are deathly ill. They've reached the gates of death. And then the familiar refrain, verse 19, Vayizaku al Hashem batzar lahem mimetzuko sehem yoshi'em. That's the verbatim verse 13. And then God responds, Yishlach dvaro v'yirpa'em v'imalek mishchisosam. God sends his word to heal them. And with no offense to any of the doctors here, as Ibn Ezra points out, the healing doesn't take place because of something we do. Ultimately, the healing and being freed from prison doesn't happen because you have good lawyers, and being saved from the desert is not because you have good caravan leader, and being saved from the sea is not because you have great sailors. But simply because God is the one who has done so. Yishlach v'avo yirpa'im v'imaleit mishchisosam. He saves them from their snares. And in response, Yodu L'Hashem chastov v'niflo sav l'fnei adam. they once again give thanks to God and speak of his wonders to people. Now, here is something very interesting. It's the only place that this connection is made. And I'll talk about that at the end of the shiur, which is V'yizbechu zivchei soda v'sapru masa berina. This is the one case where the Meshorer speaks about sacrifices. We know there is something called the Karban Toda, and I'm going to talk about that at the end of shiur. But here, there seems to be, it goes in effect beyond simply praising God, but rather there seems to be an idea that the person should actually bring thanksgiving offerings. And in that context, V'sapru masa berina, and they should speak God's deeds in song. So that's number three. That's the chola, chola shenisrape. And finally, the last one, verse 23, Yordei hayam ba'onios osei malacha b'mayim rabim. Those who, and it's the biblical idiom, is to descend onto the sea in boats, those who do their work in very deep waters. They saw the wonders of God, the deeds of God, and his wonders in the depths. What happened? Vayomer vayamed ruach sara. God gave the order, and a storm wind arose, batromein galav, and the waves of the ocean, of the sea, all of a sudden became very high. Yalu shamayim yerdusa homos. This could either be the boats or the waves. They basically cast up and down. Nafsham bira'atis mogag. Their soul in bad things literally melts. One might understand this to refer to nausea. If nefesh refers to the appetite or the throat, many what happens when you wind up on a boat that's on big waves. Yachogu v'yanu kashikar, which might also be the same reference. They tremble or they shiver like a drunk person. All of their wisdom about how to navigate on the seas is swallowed up. It's worthless. Then vayitzaku al Hashem batzar lahem, the familiar refrain, umemitzuko sehem yotzeim. God takes them out of this situation. Yakem se'ara l'dmama. God quiets down the winds v'yachashu galahem, and all of a sudden the waves stop making noise. Vayismechu chiyishtoku. They rejoice because of the silence. Vayanchem amachos hasam. God guides them to the port of their destination. And what do they do? Yodu l'Hashem chasto v'niflo sal v'flei adam. The verse, once again, for the fourth time, they give praise to God for his kindness and they speak of his wonders to people. And here again, we have another verse which becomes relevant certainly in the halachic literature. V'romemu v'kal'am. They exalt him in the congregation. U'v'moshav zekenim yahalalu. And in the assembly, or in the, the assembly of the elders, they will give praise. So, and then the rest of the Mizmar speaks about God's ability to turn good situations to bad situations to good situations. But essentially, these are the, when Chazal speak about the Arba Tzrichim Lahodos, these are the four individuals. It's based really upon this, I'll call it four parts of this poem, which are, again, the person who got lost in the desert, the person who was imprisoned, the person who was deathly ill, and the person who got lost at sea. So the Gemara in Brachos, the source really for this halacha, it's not an extensive discussion, but I want to read the very brief passage. When you look in the Rambam, in Shulchan Aruch, it merits an entire siman of something like nine se'ithim, but the Rambam, it merits literally one halacha, about 2.5 lines. So the Gemara in Brachos, source number 2, tells us, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, Arbot Tzrichim Lahodos. Yordei Ayam, Holchei Midbaros, Misha Yecholav Nisrape, Umisha Chaya Chavosh Beves, Ha'asurim B'yatza. So with the same four, just they're not in the same order. And then the Gemara goes on, I'm not going to read this, it's in the small print. The Gemara goes on to use the verses in Tehillim to justify these four being on the list. So then the Gemara asks a question, which I'll come back to a little bit later. My Mevarech. What bracha do you make? The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Baruch Gomel Chasadim Tovim. This sounds more like the bracha we make in Berchas HaShachar at the end of Hamavir Shein Me'enai than it does like our version of Berchas HaGomel. I'll talk about that a little bit later. The Gemara continues and says, Amar Abayi Amar, V'tzarech La'oduye Kamei Asara. You have to, when you say Berchas HaGomel, it has to be done in the presence of 10 people. The way we read this, I believe, is not before 10 people, but in an assembly of 10 people because you're included as one of the 10. Sometimes people count towards the minyan, sometimes people don't count towards the minyan. So here, even though it sounds like it has to be in front of 10 people, you're one of the 10. Dichsiv, and now Abaye quotes the last, the sort of the coda to the last of the four, Viromamu Bikalam. So not to be outdone, Marzutra comes along and says, Utrein minayhu rabbanim. Two of them have to be sages. They have to be Talmidei Chachamim. Shenemar, the second half of the verse, Uvumoshav Zikenim Yahalaluhu. So Zikenim is minimally speaking two people. So Marzutra says that when you say Birchas HaGomel, there have to be 10, here it says 10 people. It's not entirely clear, and I haven't seen anything in the halachic literature whether this requires a minion of men. One would assume so, but it's not entirely clear. But two of the people who count towards this minion have to be Talmidei Chachamim because of Moshav Zekenim Yahalu. So Maskat Ravashi, Ravashi comes along not to be outdone and says, Ve'ema Kula Rabbanan. Maybe if it's there in parallel, V'ramumu B'kalam U'moshav Zekenim Yahaluluhu, so maybe it has to be in front of 10 Talmidei Chachamim. So the Gemara says, Miksiv B'kahal Zekenim. It's Bikalam Ksiv, the first essay that refers to a minion. Kahal is assumed to be a synonym in halachic literature for 10. That's how we know, in fact, that a minion based upon the Admasai, La'idah Ha'ra'azos, and Eidah, I think, is connected to Kahal. So it's 10 people. So it doesn't say Kahal Zakenim, it says Moshav Zakenim, it says Kahalam. That's how you know you need 10. So then the Gemara says, Ve'ema Be'ya Asara Sharama Utrei Rabbanan. Maybe you actually need 12 people for Birchas HaGomel. 10 people of any kind. And in addition, you need a Moshav Zakenim. You need two Zakenim, to which the Gemara says Kasha. So that the Gemara leaves it as unresolved. It's not clear if it leaves it unresolved, but the Gemara leaves open the possibility that you actually need 12 people for Birchas HaGomel. We'll come back to that. And finally, one story in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Cholash V'ispach. Rabbi Yehuda V'amora became ill, and then he got better. Olagabe Rav Chana Bagata Rabbanan. Rav Chana of Baghdad and the rabbis came to visit him. Amri Le, they said to him, Brich Rachmana the Yahavach Nialon, blessed is God who gave you to us, velo Yahavach La'afra. He didn't give you to the dirt, meaning that you lived, you didn't die. Amar Lehu, he says to them, Patraton Yossi Mele Oduye, you have now exempted me from having to give hodah to say Birchas HaGomel. So the Gemara says, "Amar Abaye, boy, aduye ba'pesar." You need 10 people. So the Gemara says, "The habu be'asara." He had it wasn't Rav Chana and a couple of the Talmidim. The whole yeshiva came to visit him. Then the Gemara says, "Ah, but the hot yulo kamoda." He didn't say anything. They said Birchas HaGomel. So the Gemara says, "Lo tzarech the ani basray omein." He answered when they said Brich Rachmana the yavach lan the yavach nialan v'lo yach afra. He said omein. So what? This is perhaps not a surprise. It's a detail within the sugya that's known as Shomea Ka'oneh. When do we say that it's enough to hear it? When do you have to answer Amen? But at the end of the day, in this particular case, and this might be relevant, this in fact is relevant, other people said Birchas HaGomel, he said Amen, and that was sufficient. So what's also interesting about this particular story, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, is the fact that someone else, when the Rabbanan said Birchas HaGomel, why would they say in Birchas HaGomel? They weren't the ones who were actually saved. So the question is discussed, and we'll talk about it. Is it relevant for me to get up, supposing someone who is very near and dear to me was saved, they got into a car accident, they were almost, and they survived. Is it relevant for me? They have to say Birchas HaGomel. Can I get up in shul and say Birchas HaGomel? Now, I wouldn't say the Arnusach HaGomel Chayavim Tovos. You don't say Shegamalani Koltov. You would say Shegamal Leploni Koltov. You say thanks to God who did such good things for so-and-so. So the Gemara, because he did answer Amen in the end, but presumably it wasn't that he asked them to say Birchas HaGomel on his behalf so that he could answer Amen. They just expressed their praise to God. It was sort of a natural outpouring of thanks. Okay, so let's first talk about, so there are several issues I want to talk about. Number one is the actual numbers required. Number two is, can someone else make a bracha? Number three is, Can you make Birchas HaGomel on other kinds of things? And I think I have a fourth item, which is the Nusach HaBracha. So let's first start with the question of how many people you need. The Gemara seems to have left open the possibility that you need 12 people. If you look at Tosas HaRash, it's source 3 Aleph. Tosas HaRash writes, "Ema basar v'tshrei rabbanon kasha." The Gemara says, "V'cheven de lov shita." He says, "V'cheven de lov shita lan l'chumra be'inan tavayim." So the Rush, Tosas HaRash, and perhaps Aratosas, but something may have happened to Aratosas. They say that you need to be machmir to have 12 people. As I think most of you are well aware, although this could be out of ignorance, that is not our minhag. The Rambam and the Rif writes, I think, also as well. The Rambam, in that one entire halacha in Hilchos Brachos, just the portion that is underlined in source 3 bet, Utzrichim lahodos b'fnei asara u'shnaimim chachamim shenemar v'miramamu b'kalam u'v'moshav zekeni mihalu. The Rambam does not present this as any type of chumra necessary. He says that there are 10 people required, 2 of them should be Rabbanan. What is the Rambam? Why did the Rambam rule this way? So I think the simple answer is not that the Rambam thought that since the Gemara didn't know, therefore we can be lenient in this area for whatever reason. I think it's because if you actually read the Gemara carefully, the Gemara, Abaye said you need 10 people. That was Abaye's psak. Abaye didn't say that you needed 12. Marzutra added that you should also have Tuminai Rabbanon. Marzutra himself didn't say you need 12. Marzutra said that you need 10, 2 of whom are Tamid HaChachamim. Abaye and Marzutra did not differ on how many people you need. The Gemara asked the question, based upon the Pasuk, why don't you need 12? And the Gemara says, we don't know why, but the Gemara never says that maybe you do need 12. It seems to be taken as a given that only 10 are required, and I think that's why the Rambam and the Rif Paskin, as does the Shulchan Aruch, that only 10 people are required. Now, the interesting thing is there's a machlokas harishonim here, whether or not the 10 are ma'akev. Let's say you can't get 10 people. You can't get 10 people. And I didn't put the makoros here, but there's a question of how long do you have to make Berachas HaGomel? So the Torah writes as long as you want. And the Beis Yosef thinks maybe it should only be 3 days. And then some suggest 5 days. Ideally, you want to make Berachas HaGomel as soon as you can, because the sooner you do it, the greater the expression of thanks is. If you wait 2 months later, after you emerge unscathed from a major car accident, so the first few days afterwards, you're still trembling, like you're still shaking. 2 months later, for most people, unless you're suffering PTSD, so it doesn't have the same impact. The time dulls the memory, it dulls the emotion. So, of course, ideally, Birchas HaGomel should be made as soon as possible. So what? Let's say you don't have a minion, and you're not going to get a minion. Do you not say Birchas HaGomel? Do you say Birchas HaGomel without, Shem U'Malchus? So the Torah writes, "V'mbirech hafila b'pachos me'asara in tzarech lachzor l'varech delishna v'tzarech la'aduyeh ba'an peyud mash madat l'chatchila." It should be in front of the 10, but he thinks it's not obligatory. Rabbeinu Yonah, if you read his comments carefully, Rabbeinu Yonah thinks that if you made Birchas HaGomel in the presence of fewer than 10 people, you need to make it again in front of 10 people. All right, so that question is not absolutely clearly resolved. Now, with regards to that's as far as the numbers of people are required. The Shulchan Aruch says that you're supposed to have 10 people, 2 of them are supposed to be Rabbanan. If you can't find Rabbanan, it's not Ma'akev. You make Birchas HaGomel anyway, and I think that's the practice. I don't think people, if they're gathering 10 people, again, it could be out of ignorance, but I don't think people are mocked to see if you can get 2 rabbis to come as well. Now, the question of other people making Birchas HaGomel. So the Torah writes, and this is source 4 Aleph. First, he talks about, if I want to be Yotzei Birchas HaGomel from someone who's not obligated to make it, a friend that liked the Gemara. The Rabbanon who walked in, they were thrilled that Rabbi Yehuda survived, but they weren't obligated in Birchas HaGomel. In order to be Yotzei there, he has to answer Amen. Shomea Ka'ona doesn't work, says the Rush. If, however, more than one person is obligated to make Birchas HaGomel, it's enough to rely upon Shomea Ka'ona, even if you don't answer Amen. Now, the Torah then writes the following in the underlined portion. He says, V'lo choshiv bracha l'batala, kevan shehim lo nischaivu ba. The fact that they weren't obligated to make Birchas HaGomel doesn't make it a bracha l'batala. Shehim nasnu shevach v'odah l'makom, kiderech b'nei adam shemeshabachim l'makom alato v'shemazmin lehem. It's a good thing. If you're my close friend and you were saved, so it's in a sense, it's a good thing that happened to me. And I can give thanks for that. That's not a bracha levatala. I'm not obligated to do so. You were saved personally. You're obligated. But the Torah says it's not a bracha levatala. And the Beis Yosef then writes, he quotes others who disagree. He says, in halacha and source four bays, in halacha kevel and divrei hakol inochai levarech, lo yivarech v'imbirech gorimbo, the doma bracha levatalahu. Here, the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe and a number of the Achronim disagree. They think that if someone who is very close to you, not stam anybody, but it's someone who's very close to you, then one is permitted to make Berachas HaGomel. One of the cases that's brought up, and it sort of morphs over time in terms of how it's treated halachically, is a husband making Berachas HaGomel for his wife. Sometimes you'll hear the practice, see the practice, something, the wife was endangered, or the probably most common occurrence might actually be childbirth. And the husband gets up and makes Berachas HaGomel. There are two questions that have to be addressed here. Question number one, is the husband allowed to make Berachas HaGomel? Question number two is, does that exempt now the wife from having to make Berachas HaGomel if she's not there? The original discussion in the halachic literature, in the Bach and earlier, is not whether or not the wife can be yotze with Berachas HaGomel, the husband. It's taken almost to just assume that the husband is not being motzi his wife. Of course, they don't talk about it explicitly, but there's no discussion of, oh, the husband makes it and the wife she's now yotze. That's not the discussion. The question is the husband, his wife is going to make Berachas HaGomel anyway. But is the husband allowed to say, I want to make Berachas HaGomel too because my wife is my closest to me in the world, and God forbid if she had died, and therefore I am so grateful. So the Bach writes, and the Ramah doesn't talk about that case specifically, that of course a husband can make Berachas HaGomel for his wife. They reject the position of the Beis Yosef, saying that only these four people can make a real Berachas HaGomel. What's interesting later in here, I cite the Aruch HaShulchan for you, is then the practice seems to have morphed into, for whatever reason, women weren't comfortable making Berachas HaGomel. The husband makes Berachas HaGomel. He writes, Mize Lomdu, 4 Dalit, the isha shenischaiva beberchas hagomel yochal habal levarech ba'ada v'lochein kishayolda v'nitzola min asakana yochal habal levarech shegmalech. You don't say shegmalani kol tov in that case. You say shegmalech kol tov. Still, the primary target of the bracha is the person who actually experienced the salvation. And then the Aruch HaShulchan says v'hi tane amen, and then she responds amen. By doing, he's not mechuyav. So just by hearing his bracha, she can't be yotzei. But if she answers amen, then she's yotzei. He says that in lacha ava v'nogeh betovasa yosem imenu the ishto kegufo. There's no one who has greater impact upon his life than his wife. Okay, so the accepted practice, although I don't think it's typically done, except for maybe, I'm not even sure it's done anymore. Even though it from the Achronim would seem that it's permitted. I've never seen people typically make Berachas HaGomel for somebody else, you know, because it affected them so much. This, I think you sometimes will see a husband making Berachas HaGomel for his wife, but if she's not there to answer amen, then she's supposed to make Berachas HaGomel herself. Okay. And then the last of the substantive questions here is the question of, can you make Berachas HaGomel on anything besides these four things? And what sort of gets coupled with that question as well is many of you, well, not recently, some of you might have traveled on a plane to Israel or from Israel, and you traveled over a very big ocean. You might have even flown over a desert, but I won't count that traveling the desert, but you definitely flew over the ocean. Some people might have gone, well, taking a cruise probably in the last year was probably a rather dangerous enterprise, but having nothing to do with the waves at sea, but for other reasons. But let's say you took a cruise. You took a cruise to the Bahamas. You traveled over a good part of the ocean. Would we say that a person has to make Berachas HaGomel under those circumstances? Or let's say a person, you got sick, you got a cold. Okay, you had a stomach virus. You had some kind of an illness that put you out of commission in one level or another for a little bit. Nothing that we would consider life-threatening. Would you say that you have to make Berachas HaGomel because it's a cholish in Israel? And on the flip side, let's say you were in a dangerous situation and you were in a car accident and you could have been killed easily, or you were attacked, you were out hiking and you were attacked by a bear and you managed to fight the bear off. The question is, do you make Berachas HaGomel under those circumstances? Both questions are fundamentally the same question. Is this construct of Arba Tzrichim Lehodos sort of an absolute, you know, categories and situations, or is it simply reflective of what in the time of Chazal, in the biblical era, were typically dangerous enterprises, whereas some of them might not be quite as dangerous today. So the Beis Yosef quotes from the Avudraham, it's source 5 Aleph, Kasev Rabbeinu David Avudraham, B'Shem Rabbeinu Gershom, B'Rabbeinu Shlomo, Shehanasa Lo Neis. If a miracle happens to you when you're saved, Einu Mevarech HaGomel. You don't make Birchas HaGomel, and he quotes similarly the Orchos Chaim, who says, Yesh Omim She'arba Bilvad Srichim Lohodos, Aval Acherim She'birchu Habe Bracha Levatol. That's what the Orchos Chaim says. V'chein Pasach Av Rabbeinu Shem To Palchu B'Shem HaTosfos, Te'elu Arba Davka, V'hu Adin B'chol Makom She'maskir HaTalmud Mispar. Arba Tzrichim Lohodos, and no others. However, Al HaRivosh, Kasav B'tshuva, and I'm going to skip down two lines to the actual tshuva itself, someone a miracle happened to, but it wasn't these four things. He says, tshuva, nirash et tzarech levarech, sharei hochem idbaro shet tzrichim lahodos, zehu mipnei sakonas aryeh v'ganavim hametzuyim bedrachim. It's because of the dangers of wild animals, of brigands who are found on the highways. Im kein kish amar alav aryeh litorpo afilu ba'ir. Let's say you were attacked by a wild animal, even in the city, so in Orim Ganavim Bo Loim showed the Delilah Nitzamahem, you were attacked by bandits, and you were saved, the Chayotse Benisim Elu, Kosha Kainsu Tzarach Lahodos. Of course you have to. When you go in the desert, you make a Birchas HaGomel, even though you never actually faced the danger. You weren't attacked by lions and snakes and wild camels and so on. So Kosha Kain, Elu, Kosha Kainsu Tzarach Lahodos, Velo Huskur Harbar Ba Kosov, those are mentioned because those are the typical situations of danger. But certainly that is the case, because when you personally experience an ace and you pass that place, you have another bracha that you make about Baruch She'asa Li Neis B'Makom Hazeh. But the Rivash concludes by stating that's not sufficient, because it's possible, he says in the last the full line in the source, it might be, if you're waiting for the bracha that you make, bracha, you know, you may never get to make that bracha to give thanks to God. So the Rivash says, of course you have to make Birchas HaGomel. In Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes, source 5 bet, Hani Arba Lav Dafka. It's not specifically these four. The Huadin L'mishinasa L'Nes Kigon Shanafal of Kosel, a building collapsed on him and he survived. Onitzel Midrisha Sharvini Yehosav. He was saved from being trampled. I guess he went to the running of the bulls and he came out alive. Osha Amad Alav Beir Arye Latarpo. He was attacked by a lion in the city. Oim Ganav Imbo Loam showed the Laila of Onitzel Mayhem. He was saved from criminals who attacked him. The Chochayotze Bezei Kulan Tzrichim Lavarech HaGomel. That's the first opinion the Mechaber quotes. But then he says, "V'yesh omrim she'ein mevarchan agomel alahani abar davka v'tov levarich below askar shem umachos." So the Mechaber recommends, when you're in a situation where you clearly felt that you could have been killed and you weren't, that you don't say, you would say baruch atah hagomel lechayvim tovos kol shegmalani kol tov. That's not the accepted position of Pesach. The Aruch HaShulchan and other Achronim write. He quotes Vachronim in source 5 Gimel. I didn't cite it in the sources here, but the Ramah quotes, the Mechaber and the Ramah quote a machlokes. In Sfarad, their minag was, whenever you got sick, no matter how minor the sickness was, I don't know if it means a cold, but if you were in bed for one day because you had a headache, so in Sfarad, they held that you have to make Birchas HaGomel. The Ramah writes in Ashkenaz, they didn't hold that. In order to make Birchas HaGomel, it has to be a significant illness. You might say probably today, someone who got COVID-19 and recovered, you might even say even if they were asymptomatic, but they knew they had it, probably it warrants a Birchas HaGomel. But if you got a cold or you got a stomach flu, so that probably, for most people, doesn't warrant a Birchas HaGomel, according to the Ramah's position. Finally, what is the nusach of the bracha? So our Gemara, the printed text of the Vilna Shas, says, "My mevarech." We read it. I repeat it here. Amar Rav Yehuda, Baruch Gomel Chasadim Tovim. If you look in a couple of the Kisvei Yad, however, you will see a different version. My mevarech, source 6 bet. Amar Rav Yehuda, Baruch Gomel Chayivim Tavosh Shegmolanu Kol Tov. That obviously looks exact, really like our our Birchas HaGomel, although the verb is pluralized here, if you're speaking for multiple people. This happens to be the Girsa of the Rif and the Rambam and the Rush. And not only this manuscript, there's at least one other manuscript that has the same Nusach as we have, and that is, in fact, our Nusach of Birchas HaGomel. Two comments about the Nusach before we talk a little bit about the Karban Todah. Firstly, our Nusach, HaGomel L'Chayavim Tovos, I don't know how many people have thought about what this means. I looked in the translations. I don't have it written down in front of me. I looked in the Korain Sacks and in the Art Scroll. I think the Korain Sacks, the script translates HaGomel L'Chayavim as the unworthy. God does for the unworthy good things. Art Scroll translates, I think, a little closer to being what I would call literally accurate and still, I think, important. They say the guilty. And Art Scroll's translation is fundamentally correct. It's easy to misread the verse. You could, in a way that's almost blasphemous. You would say that God does l'chayavim tovos, to those who are obligated to have good things or something like that. Chayavim, as the Beis Yosef points out, chayav is the translation Aramaic of Russia. When you say hagomel l'chayavim tovos shegmalani kol tov, you're saying hagomel l'rishaim tovos shegmalani kol tov. The Beis Yosef writes in the underlying portion, klomar afilu l'osam shem chayavim, dahinu shem rishaim, ditargum rasha chayava. Im kol zeh gomel lahem tovos. And I think that this is actually a profound point we give thanks to God, but part of our giving thanks is not just thanks that you did something for me, but that we are fundamentally undeserving. I presume that we would have to give thanks even if we were deserving. What comes to mind here is a famous or an infamous cultural icon who, when asked by his father to say grace, commented, "Dear God, we pay for this food, so thanks for nothing." That there may be a degree of truth in that you say thank you more when something is undeserved than when it's deserved. You should say thank you anyway. But I think the emphasis on the bracha is that we are truly, as human beings, undeserving of God's goodness, and nonetheless, he does that for us. Hagomel l'chayavim kama tovos. Okay, so that's, an overview of the roots of and some of the basic issues that come up in Berachas HaGomel, certainly appropriate Thanksgiving. I wanted to take just 2 minutes to talk about the Karban Todah and maybe COVID-19 also very briefly. There is no tradition that I am aware of in Chazal that connects, when I say Chazal, I mean the Bavli, Yushalmi, rabbinic literature, pre-medieval, pre-Rishonim, that makes any connection between the four people who say Berachas HaGomel and bringing a Karban Todah. A Karban Todah happens to be one of three varieties of Zevach. There's a Zevach Shlamim, there's a Zevach Todah, and there's a Zevach Chag HaPesach. They all are, in a certain sense, kinds of Shlamim. And the Zevach Todah, there's nothing specified in the Gemara why someone volunteered to bring a Todah as opposed to a Shlamim. The Rambam, as far as I can find anywhere in Mishnah Torah, doesn't talk about that you're supposed to bring a Todah for the following reasons. The first person that I'm aware of to connect it is actually Rashi. Rashi writes, and that's source 7 Gimel, Rashi writes, Im al todayak grivenu. The parsha actually begins, by the way, Vizos Toras Zevach HaShlamim, and then Asher Yakriv Lashem, and then Im al todayak grivenu. One kind of a Zevach Shlamim is a Todah. So Rashi just writes, Im al devar hoda al neshen asela. If you're given bringing a Todah over a miracle, something great that happened to you, and I don't think Rashi means to say you only bring a Karban Todah on these four things, but it certainly does sound like these are the kinds of things you're supposed to bring a Karban Todah for. There would be a source for that in the Mizmar. If you remember, after challenge number 3, in verse 22, the people who were saved from illness, the last verse is, V'yizbechu zivchei sodah v'sapru ma'asa berina. So Rashi and then other Rashbam after him and other Rishonim sort of make a connection between the two. But in the halachic literature, as far as I can tell, there is no connection. Interestingly enough, the second half of that verse, Bisapru Masa Virina, so that's consistent with the idea of Yodu Lashem Chasto, you do something for God, which is you bring the Zevach. And then Meniflo Sablafne Adam, you tell over his wonders to people, that's Visapruma Sabarina. And there's one particular halacha of the Karban Todah. This was pointed out first by the Abarbanel, and then Itziv repeats it as well. I don't know if you saw the Abarbanel, which is there's something very unusual about a Karban Todah. When you bring a Karban Shlamim, the people who bring the Karban, the Bailim, eat the meat, and they have 2 days and a night to eat the meat. You have the day you shech the Karban, the night after, and the next day. And all there is to eat is the meat. When the Torah says you bring a Karban Todah, and this you can see the difference if you look at Source 7 Bays in Ezu Mekoman, a Karban Todah firstly has 40 breads, 40 loaves of bread to be eaten. So the Kohanim each take one of each set of 10. So you have 36 loaves to eat, and you only have Yom Valayla and Midrabanan only until Chatzos. You only have the day and the night and nothing else. The question is why? It's almost counterintuitive. The Shlamim is much less to eat, and the Torah gives you a lot of extra time. It gives you an extra 12 hours. And the Todah, the Torah strips away the 12 hours, and the Rabbanon took away another 6. Why is that so? So both the Abarbanel and Nitziv say that an essential part of giving thanks is not just saying thank you to God. It's Visapruma Sabarina. It's Umbiniflo Savlav Ne'adam. If when you bring a Karban, you don't, it's not appropriate. You're not allowed to let the Karban go to waste. If you let it go to waste, you violate the prohibition of Nosa. The only way you're going to be able to consume the entire Karban Todah is if you invite lots and lots of guests. And when you invite lots of guests to a party you're making, they ask you, why are you making this party? And the answer is, Beniflo Sablafne Adam Visapruma Sabirina. Okay, so anyway, so the Karban Todah is the Doraisa manifestation of expressing thanksgiving, although the halacha doesn't prescribe it for a very specific set of circumstances. The Chazal's obligation of giving Hodah is Birchas HaGomel based upon Mizmor Kuf Zayin. I just wanted to close with one comment of, I'll say, Divrei Hashkafa. Thanksgiving is a day that Jews have in this country have a lot to be grateful for. I think we have a lot to be grateful for in general, for having the privilege to live in a country that provides us with religious liberty and has really, for pretty much its entire history, treated us as full citizens in a way that we have never been treated, certainly not in the last 1,500 years, in our diaspora. So for that, there's a lot to be grateful for. And I would just add that under these circumstances, under the difficult circumstances of the pandemic, we as a community have a lot to have a hakaras hatov for. There are a lot of, our community has suffered certainly greatly in the pandemic, but compared to many communities in this country, we have suffered a lot less. Not everybody, but most people in the community, by the nature of the occupations that we occupy, have had the ability to, most of us, and again, not everybody, to work through this pandemic, to work from home, to work in a relatively safe environment. But there are a lot of people in this country, a lot of other communities, who have not had that privilege, who have not had opportunity, either have been unable to work and have been suffering far greater than people in our community on average, or have had to go to work, but their work has entailed a much greater degree of danger than those of us who can sit in our basements and give shear from there. And so I just think that we should take the opportunity sometime along today. We don't formally say Hallel, but certainly in however we do it to express our Hakar Sato through Ribono Shel Olam for the great fortune which he has bestowed upon us. I hope everybody has a wonderful day today and enjoys the rest of this program.